Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we will figure out together. Live on the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. Progressives just can't seem to fathom that crimes are almost always committed completely detached from racism and white supremacy. That is what's trending.
What's trending? National.
And I think part of the reason why they can't just fathom that reality is that they are obsessed with identity. Not all progressives. I'm talking about the progressive activists. The ones who show up to march. The talking heads you see on CNN and MSNBC. They are obsessed with identity. They are loyal to what I believe to be a dangerous ideology. One that tells them, teaches them, demands that they are obsessed on identity. What did we see this month? We saw two mass shootings where the victims were Asian. We saw this brutal and ultimately deadly assault against a black man, Tyre Nichols. And for most of us, when we saw news of either of the mass shootings or we saw the video of five officers beating Tyre Nichols, most of us were shocked, disgusted. Maybe some of you were angry or scared, anxious. But we saw them for what they were. We didn't need some deeper meaning behind why they occurred. We didn't have to look for something that wasn't there or wasn't obvious. We just saw it for what it was. We don't instinctively desire to invent some sort of systemic issue to explain this tragedy because our lives aren't defined by fighting for an ideological cause. So we don't think of things in those ways. We don't look at stories and incidents through a CRT lens, critical race theory lens. We don't. Progressive activists, they do. They had different responses than you or I. They decided to rush to politicize anything that they could. They did it at the beginning of the first mass shooting against Asians in California a couple weeks ago. They baselessly claimed that, well, white supremacists was involved, clearly. This is, again, the MAGA Trump Republicans. And of course, the second it became clear that not the first one, but also the second one, committed by Asian men, some of the loudest people talking about white supremacy, all of a sudden they shut up. All of a sudden they weren't even talking about the stories anymore. Did you get a lot of coverage from the second shooting? Barely even a day's worth. Because activists on the left generally don't really care about Asians. They care about Asians when they can turn it into some sort of political advantage. But other than that, they're like, well, they're kind of like white people because they do rather well. So let's go ahead and discriminate against them in admissions. Whether we're talking about the Lowell Elementary School in San Francisco, or what is it, the Thomas Jefferson one in Virginia, or just at Harvard. Well, let's just discriminate against them. They've got some privilege. When it came to Tyre Nichols, what did we get in the aftermath? We got folks bending over backward to make this about white supremacy. This is actually about racism. And they did that because the police were involved. And even though it was five black men who were the cops, didn't matter. It didn't matter because they see the world through the social justice lens, through the CRT lens, and institutions in this country are systemically racist. So that's how you explain away black people being involved. Yeah, it's the system. It's policing that's systemically racist. And that allows them to use these events to push for the abolition of police, of prisons, of the criminal justice system itself. You've got folks out there that saying, here's proof that the police departments in this country, even when they are predominantly black, even if the cops involved are black, even if the police chief involved is black, our communities, the black communities, are policed differently. That's what Ben Crump, the lawyer, who is someone who goes into scenarios and does his best to create division along racial lines. That's what he said on CNN.
And communities of color, they often have different types of policing than many of our white brothers and sisters have in their community. And this video illustrates it, that it's this culture that says it doesn't matter whether the police officers are black, Hispanic, or white, that it is somehow allowed for you to trample on the constitutional rights of certain citizens from certain ethnicities and certain communities. And we have to have a larger conversation about this.
It's allowed? Where are the five right now? Oh, that's right. They're in jail. Precisely because it's not allowed. Why do we know Tyre Nichols' name? Because this doesn't happen often. And when it does, it shocks us so much that we remember the victim's name. Can you name one of the 310 or 318 homeless people who died last year in King County? Why can't you? Why can't you name a single one? I gave a name. I made it up. I gave a name last hour. Can't name them, can you? Because it happens all the time. This doesn't happen all the time. They want you to think it does. Because it plays into their narrative of systemic racism. Now, especially in this case, the argument about white supremacy falls flat. It is a losing argument. And it exposes how fringe the voices have become on the left. Reasonable people look at what happened and they say, these were five bad cops. We don't even care about their race. We noted in this case, because we know that if they were right, white activists would be on the streets today, right now, burning communities to the ground. Because that's what they're focused on. We're not focused on that. Despite hoping otherwise, I think there were Antifa thugs out there, there were radical leftists out there who wanted to start this movement over again like they did after George Floyd. They couldn't get people to show up. They got a very small group of people to show up. Now, some of that, I think, is due to the way they're organizing. I was on Tucker Carlson Friday night making that point that Antifa doesn't openly arrange their rioting on Twitter the way that they used to. And they used to. They did it completely out in the open. It's different now. They do it more privately. Before, they benefited from like-minded people who didn't know how to get in on the action, seeing it on Twitter, showing up to the event with rocks. They would show up looking for a fight. They can't do that when they don't see it anymore. But I think a larger reason why we didn't see that big of a movement form over the weekend was because we know what this is about. We know what this is about. This wasn't about racist cops. These were just about five bad cops, and they're being charged. What more can we ask for? Most of the American people, 99%, we don't support protests against the entire criminal justice system. It's that small group of very loud folks who got much larger during the BLM movement, but that has since gone away, the numbers at least. As a matter of like a percentage of the population, they're small. The voting population, they are larger when you break it down that way. They want to see a movement against the criminal justice system. They want to see it dismantled. They want to rebuild it in the image of CRT. The reason why I'm bringing this up is there is a column today in the Seattle Times by Naomi Ishisaka. And it's all of her columns are like a test to see how long you can read it without projectile vomiting just from all of the nonsense. And you read it, and I was reading it this morning. And what I thought was more amusing this time, because she does this all the time. She provides talking points that she tries to present as thoughtful analysis. It's never thoughtful. It's analysis, I guess, but it's not thoughtful. She wrote, and she spoke not just about, actually, she spoke very little about Tyre Nichols. She spoke mostly about the two mass shootings against Asians. She said that two Asian Americans could do something so horrific to their own communities is hard to fathom. But in truth, it really shouldn't be. Now, she states that as if she stumbled on some kind of magnificent truth that none of us have ever even considered, that an Asian might kill another Asian. Like, she's kind of shocked by this, but, you know, the more I think about it, actually, I guess we shouldn't be shocked. And even though in this article, she ends up blaming guns and gun culture, which is just so dumb and lazy, but that's what her column is. She goes on to talk about something that I think unknowingly exposes a defect in progressive activist thought. I don't think she did this on purpose. I actually do think she stumbled onto this. She wrote in part, "No race or ethnic group has a monopoly on violence. We're struggling with this complexity in the Tyree Nichols killing as well, with some having trouble understanding how black cops could beat another black man so brutally." She goes on to say that she hopes that we, the reader, can understand that, quote, like all humans, Asian Americans can cause terrible harm as well as be harmed. That's not a revelation. If you are a left-wing partisan, you might be struggling to understand violence like this. But to those of us not taught to view everything through an ideological lens, you know what we know as a matter of fact? Black people kill black people. Asians kill Asians. Latinos kill Latinos. Whites kill whites. Sometimes, wait for it, blacks kill Latinos. Asians kill whites. Whites kill Latinos. Did you know that? Yeah, we know that. Because we don't look at everything through a CRT lens. We know that bad people do bad things. We know that those criminals are not running through some sort of intersectional checklist or exploring systemic isms like racism and sexism. We know they're not doing that before committing a crime. Some of them are motivated by an unhinged, seething rage, a sense of being wronged, being taught that violence is sometimes okay to settle scores. Sometimes it's a momentary lapse of judgment. Sometimes it's a mistake. Sometimes it's just plain evil, and we have no idea why they decided to do what they did. They just do it. Now, are some crimes motivated by bigotry? Yeah, absolutely. Racism exists. But progressive activists, they make the assumption by default, based on the identities of those who are involved, they will automatically say this is because of racism or white supremacy or homophobia or transphobia or misogyny, whatever it happens to be. They use those identities to define how they're going to respond to a crime. Sometimes they use the identities to know how they won't respond to a crime, i.e., Asian dude kills Asian victims. Mass shooting, we normally care, but it doesn't fit our narrative, so let's just push this one aside. Fingers crossed, maybe there'll be a story we can loop in white supremacy into. That's what they believe. It's sad that they're so interested in the politics of all of this, because they end up turning victims into props for progressive campaign ads. They're diminishing the very people that they pretend to care about. While you and I, we look at these stories, and yeah, sometimes there's a political note to be made, sometimes. But oftentimes we just look at it and we don't go into the motivating factors, because we understand that evil exists and bad people do bad things. There might be a political reason behind some of the crimes. But simply stating white supremacy, institutionalized racism, that's not a policy. That's not even anything more than just a lazy political statement. And the ones who do that, they look like out-of-touch fools. And we saw a lot of out-of-touch fools on Twitter and on CNN and MSNBC over the weekend. And if I looked at the New York Times, I probably would have said it's there too, but I didn't look at the New York Times this weekend. I decided to give myself a detox from stupid. So Washington Post didn't even pull it up on my phone. So take that.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was very proud of myself. I stayed away.
That's impressive.
I don't even think I saw someone do a screenshot of a stupid editorial. Usually I'll see that on Twitter, someone saying, I saw a bunch of that CNN thing about how this is truly white supremacy. But other than that, I didn't get exposed to it. I'm very proud of myself for staying away. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
I wanted to talk about this last week, but obviously the Tyre Nichols story took precedence. There was an undercover investigation by Project Veritas, and they say they caught a Pfizer executive named Jordan Tristan Walker admitting that Pfizer is thinking about experimenting with the COVID virus, mutating it. Now, Jordan Walker ended up going on three dates with an undercover Veritas journalist.
When is Pfizer going to implement the mutation of all these viruses?
I don't know. Because all the experiments work out. Because this is just like something that's dying, right?
It sounds like gain of function to me.
I don't know. It's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like this. It's definitely not gain of function.
It sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No. No, directed evolution is very different.
Direct evolution?
Directed evolution,
okay. Well, so, I mean, is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, you're not supposed to do gain of function research with the viruses.
It's boring,
too. They recommend not. But you do, like, these, like, selected directional mutations to try to see if you can make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There might not be any more outbreaks, because, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no kidding. So he goes on to say that there are some scientific experiments of infecting monkeys with the virus so that we can figure out whether or not they actively mutate, the virus actively mutates. They say they might want to force it to mutate in a certain way. He said that he suspects, or he made it clear that he suspects a Wuhan leak.
You have to be like very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something like, you know, it goes everywhere.
Something crazy.
I suspect is the way that the virus started in Wuhan, to be honest. Like, it makes no sense that this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
by the way, 100% correct. There's no way that it came from a mangolin. What? A mangolin. No, you didn't even know what that was. It's some dumb
animal. I don't know
animal.
What that is.
Look it up. It's an ugly animal.
Okay.
Came from the Wuhan lab. Everyone knows it. So they've got the video. And what Project Veritas and James O'Keefe does, they end up, whomever is the subject of the undercover video, they go ahead and confront. Now, normally, the way Project Veritas works is they're confronting someone who's a bad person. Or at least they perceive to be a bad person because he or she did a bad thing. In this case, this dude didn't say he was doing any of what he was talking about in this video. He wasn't someone who was mutating. He's not a scientist. He's not in their lab mutating viruses. And he did not react well when James showed up.
He's on tape here talking about mutating the COVID virus.
Can I talk to you outside about this?
Absolutely not. You cannot even my wife is on this. What is your name? Because you You really did.
I'm about to sue you. This is absurd.
Please.
You had someone mock me as if they're going on a date to record me. You don't even know my position at this.
I was trying to impress
a person on a date.
What's your
by
position?
Lying. I was literally trying. Okay. I'm not even a scientist by background. You know
what
that I came
position?
From a consulting firm right. that does business.
This is absurd. Please don't touch me.
This is absurd.
So
So I, if I'm being totally honest, and maybe I identify with him because I used to say when I was on dates that I was a sitting senator, they quickly Googled it and said, you're not Patty Murray, but you look like Maria Cantwell. But then they figured it out. I felt bad for him. I honestly felt bad for this guy.
It was awkward. It was weird. I didn't like it.
The awkwardness, even though clearly it was.
Well, but there's so much of that being portrayed.
But he's not the bad guy here. He's not. He is, in a way, a victim of this kind of journalism, which is sometimes questionable. And I don't know if the movement is served if more and more people see this video. There is, and Tucker made this point on his show last week, that the media isn't reporting any of it. I think the media should report the claims that were made about Pfizer and do an investigation. On the one hand, men and women do lie on dates, certainly the first few dates, because you're trying to get them to with you, and you've got to lie to impress them. But on the other hand, it certainly sounded legit, and maybe it sounds legit to me because I don't work in that field, and he does, and so maybe that's how you, maybe someone who works in the field could tell that he was lying. It sounded very specific to me. Which is why I don't necessarily think he's lying. And it certainly, to me, sounds credible that any company that's a that works in this world would be mutating the virus to try to see if they can, you know, create a vaccine that actually works. Doesn't make it right, but I guess I understand it. I don't know if people see the video of him breaking down, which to me looked like someone having a mental breakdown because he knows what will come of this. I don't know if that helps shine a spotlight on the Pfizer issue, which I do think is a reasonable one.
But what's going to come of this?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Literally nothing.
I mean, you don't think the guy gets fired or anything?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't like the idea, by the way. If you want to set him up on one date and you make it crystal clear at the beginning you are not interested and this is just, you're going to be friend zoned the entire time, maybe I'm a little bit more, I don't know, I would be a little bit more acceptable, I guess, but very little. Third date, this dude thinks he's got something going, right? Like, you're going on a third date, you're clearly interested in this person, you will presume that that person is clearly interested in you, you're expecting something. You're expecting, you know, what happened to the first and second date, by the way? What happened at the end of the third date? Because, you know, three dates.
Yeah, those are the rules, right?
I think it's literally written in a contract somewhere you sign before going out on a date.
Who made you sign a contract?
Well, if they met on Tinder, it's in the terms of service.
Oh.
You have to at least make out. Do you think that happened? And isn't that questionably...
I mean, it's...
unethical?
Yeah, very much so, yes. The whole thing seems very unethical to me, but...
And it's funny because I never thought I would feel that way about these videos because usually you're going after the bad guy in them and they just didn't go after the bad guy here and I end up feeling bad for him.
Yeah, he's like low-hanging fruit and they poached him for no reason.
But again, I don't even disagree with the low-hanging fruit if they did something wrong personally. He is just exposing what folks believe Pfizer is doing wrong. Again, I don't even know if they're doing it. And I agree that if what they say happened, or the conversation that's going on is legitimate, I do think Pfizer's doing something wrong. I just don't like that they went through this guy to get it. And I don't know, maybe that makes me an enemy to Project Veritas. I don't think so. I would tell this to James. I feel like I told him something similar when I interviewed him a couple of years ago. Of like, well, you got to be careful about who you're doing this to. And maybe it's just because I'm single, and now I'm going to wonder if someone starts talking about work or TV or something on a date. Someone says, "Well, what's Tucker really like? How is
they're going to expose
Faulkner,
you?
Faulkner really?
Is and she I'm, really focused?
Like she's focused all the time. I love everyone. I'm never going to talk smack about anyone except the people I openly talk smack about. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send a text, 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to the Jason Rant Show.
Sammamish, Kent, Olympia, Everett.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Centralia, Lakewood.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. It's a part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of the attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start with another update out of Tenino, where I am told, as of this morning, the pedophile will, in fact, be housed there starting on Wednesday. There was a town hall last night. The state was supposed to show up with some spokespeople. They chose not to. They backed out of participating, pretending that they had safety concerns, despite being on the stage with the sheriff, who something tells me would be able to protect them. It was nonsense. It was a phony excuse. And so now they're hosting a meeting, but they're doing it after the degenerate actually gets put into the home. They're doing it on Wednesday evening. And depending on the time, I might jump onto the web feed. And by me, I mean I'm going to have Max log on and then record the whole thing and then tell me what was in it so I don't have to waste an hour of my life. But we know that the person is, according to the state, going to be housed at that unsecured Supreme Living facility. Now, on Facebook, Derek Sanders, the Thurston County Sheriff, wrote about the state folks who backed down and wrote, "To say I'm infuriated and embarrassed is an understatement. The public deserves to hear answers directly and in a meaningful, engaging way from their state government." He, of course, is 100% correct. Now, more and more media outlets are starting to pay attention. I think Fox 13 has been doing a really good job. They went out, they spoke to some of the folks who were there yesterday at the meeting, and of course, they're really upset about what's going on.
I feel angry. I feel scared.
I am disgusted by the dishonesty and the deceit with this for-profit company moving in my neighborhood.
Now, the whole for-profit thing, that part doesn't bother me. It's a for-profit company. What bothers me is the, number one, the strategy the Democrats have imposed, and they started it under COVID, to depopulate prisons. On top of that, it's to destigmatize felons, including, I guess, level 3 sex offenders. This is a guy who's going to be put there, who pled guilty after he admits three times, molesting a 5-year-old boy and 6-year-old girl, 2 siblings. And reading the psych report of the offender, it makes you want to puke. It's that disgusting. It's that disturbing. They decided to move him into this location in secret. This was all being done in secret because they knew how the community would react, especially when they realized there are 35 kids within a mile radius of this location. It is across the street from this area that hosts lakeside sporting events and different recreational activities that kids participate in. It's within yards from a school bus stop. And as Brian Suits found out tonight, and he'll tell you about it tomorrow on his show, there is a playground that is very, 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 very close to this facility that anyone could just walk in and walk out of. Oh, but he's got an ankle bracelet. Oh, okay. Unless a cop is nearby, Tenino is not the easiest place to drive to within just a few moments. And if he just walks out of his little house, jumps over the cattle fence, which again, I can get in and out, you can get in and out, that means it's not secure. You know what I can't get into? McNeil Island, because it's secure. What I can get into is this Tenino location. So let's say he leaves. He goes to the school bus stop. That's just a few minute walk away. He can do a lot of damage to a child before an adult gets there or law enforcement gets there. So you can spare me the nonsense about the ankle bracelet.
They're the worst of the worst that Washington has. These people aren't just sexual offenders. They also have mental abnormalities.
It's not a matter of if they reoffend. It's a matter of when they're going to reoffend. And with the security measures in place right now, they can do that in 2 minutes just stepping on the foot of that property.
Yep, 100%. 100%. And what's funny, and I'm so glad a woman named Carrie Jeter said this, there is a conversation of like, well, where are they supposed to go?
What is a better proposed location?
McNeil Island.
Yeah.
There's your proposed location. It's worked so far. Why isn't it working now?
100%. The proposed location, the one that he's currently in. It's actually quite simple. Literally, just go back there. Stay there. There's no reason for this person to be out. None at all. Meanwhile, one of the 2 men charged with vandalizing the substation in Puyallup or Kapausen, guess what? He was ordered released from federal custody to get substance abuse help. Now, this was, and while I did not say it was a terrorist attack, it came after a domestic terrorist attack at a substation. And I noted at the time that this is generally something that's done by either Antifa or far-right activist groups. That's the truth. It's an uncomfortable truth, but that is a truth. Turns out this dude was just allegedly trying to cover a burglary, cutting the power so they can get in and steal something, which is just insane to me. However, we've heard and covered many a story of people who are addicted to drugs doing crazy things because they are so addicted, they're not really thinking straight. They just want to break into something, steal whatever it is that's there, sell it, and then buy more drugs. The Associated Press says a federal judge issued the order for Matthew Greenwood, 32, after renewed efforts by his attorney to get him into a drug treatment facility. They've been charged. He and Jeremy Crahan have been charged with conspiracy to damage energy facilities. That's a very, very specific.
Yeah, I didn't know they had that as a charge, but whatever.
So according to the complaint, Greenwood told investigators after his arrest that the two knocked out power so they could burglarize a business and steal from the cash register. The attacks cost $3 million in damages, leaving 30,000 people all in without power. The judge, Robert Bryan, granted Greenwood's release on an appearance bond or the promise to show up to a future hearing, plus electronic home monitoring and mandated drug treatment. Now, the U.S. attorney said, whoa. This dude's at risk of reoffending. Why would you do this? He said, is this someone the court can trust to be safe in this community? I think the answer to that is no. Well, he lost that one. They released the guy to go back to go into treatment. How curious is that? Weird. But I am at least glad to see people are going to be upset about this. They don't seem to be upset about it if it's a juvenile who does this. Doesn't really seem to be all that upset. In fact, you've got left-wing groups that will pay for the release to pay the bond for someone who does the same thing who happens to be homeless. Or who happens to be on the LGBTQIA++++-3 list. Because that's an identity that they want to support. Huh. Interesting. Well, what are the chances are he actually goes to drug treatment? By the way, how about this? Let's say he goes to drug treatment. And he gets out and he's sobered up and detoxed up. Do you go easier on him?
I mean, you shouldn't necessarily. Why? Because he already committed
it
the
was
crimes?
Driven it was driven by
I mean, I
a drug addiction
I understand
and no one was
that.
Physically hurt
but
just saying
he still did those acts. You should be held accountable for
he
what you did even
pay.
If you were messed up, you know what I mean?
He should have to pay. I don't know how this guy's ever going to pay $3 million off, but he should pay something. That's the one thing that I find curious, especially for non-violent crime, someone who like steals or defrauds, you know, companies of money or government officials or government agencies of money. We throw them in jail, which effectively means they will never pay it back. They'll never pay it back. And
it's
I do
accurate.
Wonder sometimes, like, hey, if this is truly someone who's not a physical threat and it's just a white collar crime, I've been stealing, fractions of pennies over the course of 10 years and I ended up getting $1 million, whatever it is, the office. Don't you want that person working and then just taking a portion of their paycheck?
I guess. I don't know.
That's a very strong take. Thank you.
I
was crediting you for providing a very strong take. Stop. I'm giving you... You know, people say, I don't credit my producers enough. I don't give them
Who
props.
Who said that?
Everyone says that all the time. They said that was my biggest fault with Peyton. Like, I didn't compliment him enough. You just provided... And I'm trying to compliment you here. You're laughing in there. I'm trying to compliment you. You provided a very good take that changed the way that I think about this story. Completely changed the way I think about this story. Your inability to come up with a coherent thought either way on the topic really impacted me.
Well, do you want to send him to a work camp?
No, I'm trying to compliment you and you think I'm insulting you. I think my tone is rather complimentary. The words aren't and the meaning isn't there. But the words, the way I'm saying it, I think it's complimentary. So in the next segment, we allow you to choose the story that we talk about. You can vote right now by texting me at 1-800-465-8770. Which story do you want me to discuss? The first one, George Santos accused of hiding Spotify account from the media. You'd be shocked by what was found on the playlist. Or calls for transparency from NBC News grow louder in the wake of the Paul Pelosi attack body cam video. You pick the news. Text 1-800-465-8770. Tell me which story you want me to do. I'll do it when we come back. It's the Jason Rant Show.
You pick
The Topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Welcome back to the show. It's the segment that you vote on what I'm going to talk about. I give you two options. You vote on the text line, and I am forced, contractually obligated, to discuss what you want me to. And in this case, the George Santos story won out by one vote. Depending on how much time, maybe I'll cheat and sneak in the second one as well. Because I didn't see any stipulation in the contract here that says I only have to do the one. So I might have found a loophole. Congressman George Santos, everyone's going nuts about him still. The media loves this story because he is a bad dude. They're going overboard. My God. We got it, guys. We got it. But now apparently they're trying to make this into a controversy. His Spotify playlist. Ooh. And because George Santos, I legitimately think he is a serial liar. Like, I think there's a mental issue there where he
gotta
has
be at
to
this
lie.
Point, right?
He originally said, what playlist? What are you talking? I don't know what you're talking about. And then it turned out it was his playlist. But then he was like, well, I use Pandora. So it's just weird. It's a story from Ursula Pirano from The Daily Beast. So first, he denied having a Spotify. Then all of a sudden, the Spotify account that they thought belonged to him started to have its username changed, and it went private. So it clearly was his. They say The Daily Beast reached out to Santos multiple times this week asking if the account was his. Santos at first didn't respond and then denied having a Spotify at all. But within hours after the first contact through a voicemail on his cell phone, the account's name was changed to from Mr. D, a potential play off of DeVolder, one of his known surnames, to ABC123. Maybe he's a Michael Jackson fan or Jackson 5. That wasn't the only detail that made the connection between Santos and the account far more than a coincidence. What were the other details? What was on the playlist? So, some context. He has been accused, credibly accused, of performing in drag. And you'll recall last week, I don't think we talked about it, but Fox brought it up a few times. He preemptively sent out a tweet saying he's not a drag queen. And everyone was like, wait, what? Why'd you just tweet that? Was someone, no one was accusing you of being a drag queen. Apparently, he knew that there was a reporter looking into photos of him, which he denied at first. And then I think he's, whoa, I was just having fun. It's clearly him in drag. So he's not a drag queen, but every once in a while, he'll dress in women's clothing to have some fun. And it turns out that those photos were from Brazil, where he was accused of performing as a drag queen. Okay. But he definitely was in drag. He's just not a drag queen.
Drag king? Or is that something else?
That's a woman dressing up as a man.
I apologize.
Get it right.
I don't know the lingo.
God.
I don't.
So they found his playlist. He had two. One he used in the gym. And the other one was just for non-gym fun, I guess. The only one they found on the gym playlist was Rise Up by Andra Day. I will rise up. That one.
It's a good gym playlist song.
It is so lame. That's his
what
like,
do you listen
cool
to at
off.
The gym?
Oh, I listen to the sound of my voice saying, get out. You shouldn't be here. And then I leave. And so I don't have to listen to any music. So his other playlist... It's very odd. First, he has Tonight I'm You, Enrique Iglesias, which actually that is a good song.
Isn't it Loving?
No, not the one he's listening to. No, the one you're talking about is the radio edit.
Oh.
Yeah, it's... I
actually didn't know.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, it's a dirty song.
Enrique.
Yeah. Well, he's changed over the years. He got kind of dirty. Then they have listed This Is What You Came For by Calvin Harris and Rihanna. I don't know that one.
You don't know that one?
Do I know it?
You should. Fairly popular.
Okay. Old Town Road by Lil Nas X, which is...
Who listens to that?
Remember when he was a thing?
Yeah.
And part of the reason he was a thing is because he's black and gay and in hip-hop, and generally
well,
you
but
don't
all that
get
came
that.
Out after... He wasn't
he just
gay
went away.
Until after the song got
yeah,
popular.
Just, well, the song got popular not because of him.
Yeah.
It was because of Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
100%. He made that song. I mean, it's a catchy song. And he's got the Jonas Brothers on there. Just a lot of songs by the Jonas Brothers, including Sucker. Is that I'm a sucker for you? Okay, yeah. That's fine. He apparently also follows Nick Jonas on Instagram, in addition to following several drag queen accounts.
What does Nick Jonas have to do with drag queen?
Nothing. They're just saying he follows them on Instagram plus drag queen accounts. So they eventually reached out to him, and he did finally admit to being a music fan. And it's almost like he's trying to, I don't know, troll everyone. He's quoted as saying, "My favorite jam right now is Sam Smith's song Unholy." That's an old song, by the way. I don't know what he's doing here. Because now I'm wondering if he's gay and he's trying to drop hints or something.
I mean, it's possible. Right? We're meandering really far away from the point of whatever any of this is, what this story.
There is no point. I don't know why anyone would care what's on his playlist.
Who cares?
Other than they say that some of the songs are popular, I guess, in drag culture for drag queens to lip sync to. Oh, okay.
Feels like a reach.
It really is.
Huge
Although
reach.
I am oddly fascinated by learning the musical tastes of just random people. It's just, I find it kind of interesting. What is on, so what do you use any of the apps or whatever?
Apple Music.
Okay, that's what I use. Pull up your Apple Music right now, as will I, and without lying, without any lie whatsoever, tell me what your top six albums are in your library, because it's the recently added that I'm curious about.
Okay. I have The Avalanches.
Never heard of them.
Chet Faker.
No clue.
MGMT.
I know them.
Jay Paul.
Is that hip-hop?
No, kind of.
Okay.
Young Dolph, and then Young Lean.
See, now everyone listening is thinking less of you.
Probably
because
so.
Because of your music.
No, The Avalanches. You should listen to The Avalanches.
I'm not going to. I won't.
Okay.
So my six, I said, one is the new Shaky Graves. I don't know who they are, but I was told to download them. Old school original Good Charlotte, because I was just in a mood and I did it. Charlie Crockett's Little GL's Blue Bonanza, because my barber told me to download it. Three Lions by Battle Skinner and Lightning Seeds, because I heard it in a commercial and I was like,
what
is that song? Song's awful, but it has a nice little ring to it. And then I've got Joe Nichols, Real Things, the country music star. Or he was never a star, was he? Was that six?
I used to play him on my old station.
One is a single, so we'll skip that. But the other one is...
That was five.
Yeah, so what is this one? It's the new 1975 album, which is so good. See, now everyone, having learned that about me, is saying, he's got eclectic taste. He's got, like, old country blues kind of thing. He's got Good Charlotte, horrible band, but they were good at the time. When I must have been like 19.
You had to be such an angsty teenager.
I really wasn't. All the music at the time, in like the late 90s, early 2000s, at some point, it was all angsty. And that was all you had, was like Dashboard Confessional.
That's honestly fair.
That's not my fault. That's what teenagers were listening to, or at the time I was.
Blink 182.
Yeah, I mean, that's very emo-ish, punk-ish. And I argue, by the way, 1995 or 96, best year for music in rock or alternative rock. That was before it got all angsty. 1-800, Smashing Pumpkins, Toadies, things, Silverchair. Oh, so good. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. It's the Jason Rant Show.